This is Pastor Mike Parks welcoming you to Church 180's weekly radio broadcast, Turn Your Life Around. It is our prayer that through the word we are about to share, that you would be encouraged, enlightened, and empowered to get your life on track through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's get right into the message this week. I hope it's a blessing.
We're doing a study, and this is our third week into this study, on studying God, Godology. It's the study of God, but not to know about Him, to know Him. It is imperative. In Matthew chapter 7, I read it to you last week, but maybe you all need to have it memorized yet. But He said, in that day, there will be those who say, "Lord, Lord, didn't we do this in Your name? Didn't we do that in Your name? Didn't we go to church every Sunday? Didn't we volunteer for this? Didn't we do that? Didn't we bake cookies for Kairos Prayer? God, I baked cookies in Your name." And He's going to say to some of those, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you." Going to church isn't enough. Sister Janice coined it. I'm going to use it. She had no clue how much I was going to use this, but just like sitting in a garage doesn't make you a car, coming to church does not make you a follower of Christ. You can sit in a car or sit in a car. You can sit in a garage all you want, but that doesn't make you a car. Amen. And a lot of people come to church week after week and they think, I've done my duty. I went to church. I did my thing. I volunteered. I did this. And it's not about that. Those are symptoms, if you will. Those are things that should happen because you know God. Because you know God, you go to church and worship Him. Because you know God, you volunteer and help people out. Because you know God, you give. Because you know God, you do these works. But works do not get you to heaven. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. And I don't know about you, but a lot of people don't get gifts from people they don't know. Think about that for a minute. Think about all the gifts you've received. Almost all of them come from somebody you know, don't they? And if you don't know God, you don't get the gift. I'm going to say that again. If you don't know God, you don't get the gift. So we've been studying here these past few weeks. I'm going to continue to study for the next several weeks about knowing God, about how to get to know Him. And so we decided that the first thing we wanted to talk about is the scripture says in John 4:24 that God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. God is a spirit. And because He's a spirit, that means He's eternal. Just like we have a spirit inside of us that God gave us, that we are eternal. The difference between our spirit and God's spirit, though, is that our spirit had a beginning. When life began inside the womb, God placed a spirit inside of that baby. And that was its beginning. God had no beginning. God has been, always will be. Do you understand? Amen. But God is an eternal spirit. One of the reasons that should make you shout is because God can't die. And God gave us a covenant. And in that blood covenant that He signed, it literally says, if I break this covenant, I die. Well, God can't die. Therefore, He can't break the covenant. So all the promises that are in the Word of God in Him are yes and amen. Do you understand? So you should shout when you hear that God is a spirit because He's a spirit, He doesn't have physical limitations. I told you guys I would love to dunk a basketball again. Haven't done that since high school. But see, I have some physical limitations now. You know, one's gravity. All right? Another is mass. Yes, yeah. Amen. You know, a lot of us sit here and say, man, I used to do this, and I used to do that. I mean, how many of you ever heard the story that your parents walked uphill both ways to school in the snow? Right, man? They were amazing. Ask them to walk uphill both ways now. Oh, I can't do that now. Why? Because they have physical limitations. But God, because He's a spirit, He is not limited by anything on this earth. That's why with God, all things are possible. There is nothing impossible with God because He does not have. He's a spirit. And we talked about finally that by being a spirit, He's the breath of life, or He is the life force inside of us. He's when He breathes into us, it's what makes us born again. And then last week we talked about how God is love in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7, all the way through that matter of fact, 1 John chapter 4 is all about love. But we find out in two times it says there, God is love. So we know God is a spirit. We know God is love. And the Bible goes on to say that if you know God, if you know God, you'll love your brother. If you know God, you'll love your neighbor. If you know God, you'll love one another. The Bible goes on to tell us in another place, it says, that how do you know you've passed from death into life? Matter of fact, it's in 1 John as well, that you, because you love the brother. You can't help but love. You can't help but have compassion. You can't help it. That's one of the ways to know that you know God. This week we're going to go, and see, and last week was fun to preach. See, people like it when you talk about God is love, and oh, there's grace, and there is grace. Grace is a good thing. There's all these, you know, people like it when you talk about faith. Well, this week, I'm sorry, I don't have God is faithful. That's later on. God was love was last week, and God is gracious. That's, you know, God is great, God is good. Let me thank you for our food. That's not this week. We're going to start this week in Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. If you know anything about the Bible, someone just shout out, what's in Exodus 20? Who wants to tell me what's in Exodus 20? The Ten Commandments. Thanks, Dad. But yeah, Exodus chapter 20 is the Ten Commandments. And we're going to start there in verse 5. And this is the very first commandment out of God's mouth. It says, you shall not bow yourself down to them. It's talking about, actually, this is the second commandment. Nor serve them. It's talking about making idols. For I, the Lord thy God, am a what? Jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me. Now flip over to Exodus 34. If you have the awesomeness of having a Bible like my wife bought me, anything God said is in red, not just in the New Testament, but mine's Old Testament. So in my Bible, this verse is red, just so you know. In Exodus 34, God is speaking through Moses, and he says, for thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is a jealous God. All right, Justin, if you would get rid of this podium. For the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. You say, well, Pastor Mike, we're not supposed to be jealous. No, the Bible tells us we're not supposed to be envious. Here's the difference, just so you know that God's not against his word. Here's the difference between envy and jealousy. Envy is when you want something someone else has. Jealousy is when you don't want someone else to have what you have. I'm going to say that again. Envy is when you want something someone else has. Jealousy is when you don't want someone else to have what you have. For example, if Justin's my friend, but if one of you want to hang out with Justin, I'm okay with that. Matter of fact, this bearded fella right here hangs out with that guy. I don't know why. Hangs out with that guy a lot. They're both movie geeks and they go watch movies and stuff. But that doesn't bother me at all. But should this good-looking bearded young man start wanting to take this lady to dinner, I'm going to have a problem with that. And so will Paige. Paige and I both will experience jealousy. It's okay. Paige and I both will experience jealousy. Why? Because we don't want someone else to have what we love. And see, the reason it's okay for God to be this way is because God knows there is nothing else greater than him out there. God knows that if anything else gets our attention, if anything else gets who we are, that it is going to hurt you. And that's why he's jealous of you, because he knows he's the best thing for you. Now, this morning as I was praying this week and seeking God on how to do this, I just gave you all some secrets about preaching. Those of you who are called to preach, you need to take some notes. When you go to put together a message, there are five things that you need to connect with people on. You need to connect with them visually. You need to connect with them verbally. You need to connect with them intellectually. You need to connect with them emotionally. And most importantly, you need to connect with them spiritually. So every week when I'm putting together a sermon, I go through a checklist and say, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? See, I know a lot of you think I just get up here and wing this. I am not that talented. There's a little bit of work goes into this. And so I came up with a way, and it's awesome that we don't have teen class today because I'm going to be able to do this perfectly. So I'm going to ask my beautiful wife to come up here and stand on stage. And I'm going to ask my sons that are in here to join her. Come on. Austin, quit sitting there. Move, boy. Now, Connor's, if he's in class, that's fine. Austin will be enough. Okay. Sister Janice, you're going to go up and stand beside Austin because you're work-related. Justin, you go up and stand beside Sister Janice because you're relationship-related. Let's see. And who looks like the hardest working person in here? Let's see. You think Jeff's the hardest working person here? Joe, get up here. You're a businessman. Get up here. Come on. Hey, this is going on the radio. The longer y'all take, I got to come right over there. All right. Now, I want y'all to watch this. This is a visual representation of my life. This is my wife, whom I love. This is my child, whom I love, even when he is ornery. I love him. This is Sister Janice, who I love, but she represents the church. She represents you all, because I love you all. This is my buddy, right? I could pull Dan Henson up here with Justin. They are my buddies. I love them. I love hanging out with them. And this is Joe. He represents work, because I work. So this is what everybody up here represents something in my life. But see, God is a jealous God. And God must be first in your life. Amen? God, and Greg, since you got a beard, come up here. I think God's got a beard. I don't know if God's got a beard or not, but Greg's got a beard. Yeah, we're just going to say this. You're going to go stand on that side of Talitha. Because, and I don't even know if this will work on the radio because they can't see this. Greg representing God, this is how my life is supposed to look. God's got to be first in my life. He's got to be number one. He's got to be my everything. He's got to be who I put first in all things. This is what the Bible says. All right? And then comes my wife and my kids, because the Bible says a man who don't take care of his family is worse than an infidel. Amen. So next comes my family. And then comes you all. Because you're my sheep. I know that's not a nice thing to call people animals, but that's the way it works. God's put you into my life to lead you and guide you. God's put you in part of my life that we can work together and do something great on this earth. God's put you into my life. And how many of you know that's an awesome thing? And that's an important, building the kingdom of God is important. But it's not more important than these two. And it's not more important than my personal relationship with him. And then come my friends. Because I don't care what you say in your relationships, other than your wife and other than your family, relationships come after building the kingdom of God. I'm going to say that again. Other than your wife and your spouse and kids, these kind of relationships belong after building the kingdom of God. And then way down here is work. Now, you all know I prioritize work. I joke about it almost every sermon. And that's the key. It's not really a joke. If I say it long enough, maybe there's some of you who aren't will go to work. Amen? See, it's funny. Some people think it's okay to laugh, and there are people going, I don't know if I can laugh or not. That's kind of rude. All right, anyway, the Bible says we should work. It says, let a man work with his hands. Isn't that what it says? So there's work. And so this is the picture. As you look at this picture, and I'm going to come down here and join you just so I can see it too. That's the picture of a life in order. That is a picture of a life in order. God first. Relationship. Not kingdom. Okay? Not kingdom. Not volunteering. Not doing work in the community. Not showing up and cleaning the church. Not any of those things. No, God, my relationship with God is first. It has to be first, because God is jealous. Do you realize if God is not Lord, if he's not Lord of your life, he's not Lord at all? See, most people, and I've been guilty of this, most people will take God and they'll move him down the line somewhere. And they don't have a problem. And they think, well, my wife is my spouse, is God's given me, and I'm going to focus on building that relationship. And they'll put their spouse and their kids before God. See, there's some of you sitting here right now, and this is the picture of your life. And I want to tell you, if this is your life, you're actually doing pretty good. You are. You're actually doing pretty good. Now, that doesn't mean it can be so much better, because if you put God first, then all this other stuff just happens to line up. All this other stuff has blessing and anointing on it. All this other stuff has grace added to it. All this other stuff comes awesomely, because when God's first, everything else flows. In Psalm 133, it says, "Behold how blessed and how good it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the oil that flows down from the beard, even Aaron's beard, down his garments, even to the hem of his garments." What it's talking about is when you got the head in the right place, because you don't anoint the body, you anoint the head, and the anointing flows down from the head. But when you got God in his proper place, then the anointing of God could flow in your life. You say, "What's the anointing?" It's what removes the burdens and destroys the yoke, according to Isaiah. How many has some burdens in your life you need destroyed? How many has some yoke in your life you need destroyed? Well, you need to get the head in its proper place so the anointing can flow. But see, then there's, and here was, when we first started this church, I was guilty of this because, man, I wanted to build, I wanted to do something great for God. And so, you know, I took the church and I put the church first. Okay? And my life, and actually, yeah, you got here. My life looked like this. And then it got to where I was so worried about work that my life looked like that. Yeah, that's about right. I was all about building the kingdom of God. You two switch. I was all about being here all the time and working and putting in hours upon hours, because there was so much to do when we first started. There was so much to get in place. Because for those of you who don't know, the stage used to sit over here. That's why these plugins are here. The stage used to be right here. It started right here, and it went all the way down to right here. And this is the old stage, and the chairs were right there, and there were only 100 chairs in here. And there was an old ugly screen that they projected on that had dots all over. It looked like stars. And we begin to have to move things around and switch things around. And we begin. Now, I had help. Please understand, I didn't do all this by myself. We had help, but it was, I was all the time in here moving stuff. I was all the time in here doing, running wires. I was all the time in here, and I was building the kingdom of God. And I was working constantly, working hard. And I had myself convinced that that was the right thing to do. Because after all, God called me to be here. God called me to be here. God called me to do all these things. But before long, it wasn't too long where I heard God saying, "Hey, your life's out of order." So I listened to God, and I took God and I put him here. But I still left them there. And I began to say, "Oh yeah, I got it right now, God. I'm getting up every morning and I'm praying. I'm reading my Bible. I'm putting you first, God." And then I would go work on the kingdom, and I'd come in here and do all the extra work that had to be done. But it wasn't too long. I began to see I was leaving them behind. And so then I began to put things back in order. Go ahead and switch back. Get back in your original places. But this is how it's supposed to be. This is how it's meant to be. This is how you want to know how to have blessing in your life. You see, a lot of people seek blessing of God. A lot of people seek God's things. A lot of people want blessed. A lot of people want prosperity. A lot of people want success. And they try to use the word of God to make those things happen. And they're seeking God's blessing instead of seeking God. But it's only when we put God first that things begin to line up in our lives. Does things begin to happen in our lives? Does God just out of nowhere does awesome things for us? You guys can sit down. Have you guys ever prayed and felt like it was a glass ceiling above you? You ever prayed and you felt like God wasn't there? You ever prayed and maybe you felt like God heard your prayer, but you just felt like he never answered? I mean, I see a couple people actually acknowledging that, but the truth is we've all been there. You know, and we wonder what's wrong. I'll tell you what's wrong. We're out of alignment. Because if God's not first, he will be none at all. What did he tell those people? "We did this in your name. We did that in your name. God, we cast out devils in your name." I mean, that's some pretty cool stuff. I mean, you know, that's talking about really bringing freedom to people. You talk about really helping someone's life change, got the devil out of them. I mean, that's pretty, you know, most of us are like, I don't want nothing to do with that. But I mean, can you imagine being bound by the devil? Can you imagine having a demon live inside of you? I mean, thank God we've not experienced that. But could you imagine the torture and the pain and all that that would cause, and then somebody coming along in the name of Jesus and bringing the name of Jesus to your life and you getting set free? How awesome of a miracle that is. How cool of a thing that is. And that person goes and stands before God and God says, I don't care what you did. You didn't know me. You didn't put me first. And I'm jealous. But that's exactly what's going to happen if we don't have God first in our life. God is a jealous God, and he don't like it when he ain't first. And see, and it's just like back when I was using that light and how we stuff everything in the hole, and that's exactly what we're doing, because if God's not first, see, God wants a full life like that. God wants us to have a family. And because that's the first thing he instituted on this planet. Do you not understand? Family was the first thing God really, besides animals and with humankind, family was the first thing God created. Do you understand? God's all about family. I need to make that clear. God's all about family. But God's not about family if they're going to be in front of him. See, I know this is hard for some of y'all to swallow, and y'all looking at me like, I don't know about this. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. It's up to you what you do with it. But God's first. God must be first. And then, how many of you know the kingdom is very important? The Bible says, seek you first the kingdom of God and his, which, by the way, is right standing with God. It's relationship. So when Jesus said that, he didn't get it backwards. He said, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, keep him first. Be in right standing with God. Seek him first. So family and then kingdom. God wants you to work in the kingdom. God wants you doing things in his name. God wants you volunteering for Blessings in a Backpack and Celebrate Recovery and the Dream Center. God wants you involved in anything that you have a passion for that's going to change someone's life. God wants that, but he doesn't want it before him. God doesn't want it in spite of him, instead of him. God wants those things. God wants you to have friends. God wants you to enjoy life on this planet. Jesus said, I came for you to have life and you have it more abundantly. But somehow we miss the point that he came and we just want to have an abundant life without him. We just want to enjoy life and have everything our way and do it our way. And you know what? That's very human. But once you've been born again and that man dies, that old man dies, you are no longer human. At least you shouldn't be. You still got a body, yes. You still have a soul, yes. But now you're kingdom child. Now you're of the kingdom of heaven. Now you're a citizen of heaven. Do you understand? You're a citizen in God's kingdom when you're born again. You're no longer part of Earth's kingdom. At least that's how it's supposed to be. But many of us, you know, we want to come here and we want to hang out with the humans. You remember, I don't know how stuff gets in my head. What a crazy example I'm about to use. How many of you have seen The Jungle Book, Walt Disney's Jungle Book? It's like my favorite Disney cartoon. Okay. And do you remember the orangutan, King Louie? I want to be like you. I want to walk like you, talk like you. Remember? He was singing that to the boy. He wanted to be like the little boy. He wanted to be human, but he wasn't human. He was an orangutan. He was of that kingdom. And he was, and here's the crazy part, in that kingdom, he was king. Oh, come on, catch this. In that kingdom, he had the power. He had authority in that kingdom. But he didn't want that kingdom. He wanted Earth kingdom. But see, in the kingdom of God, when you're born again, you have power. You have authority. God said he's made us priests and kings in the earth. And we have the authority and the power. And we have the ability to do all awesome things on this planet. But we don't want to be in that kingdom. We want to be in Earth's kingdom. I want to do it there. I want to do it like everybody else. You're not everybody else if you're a child of God. And that's why God's jealous. Do you know how it feels? Have you ever been a parent? And your kids, it's when your kids get a certain age, long about their teen years, and they start choosing everything else rather than hanging out with you. See, in my house, I have a 10-year-old, a 14-year-old, and a 17-year-old. And the 17-year-old only wants to hang if it's throwing ball, shooting ball, kicking ball, or hunting. But there was a time when, man, he wouldn't leave my side. There was a time when he was little, man, everything had to be with me, and just the same way with all of them. But see, Nate's 10. Nate's still come and curl up on my lap and snuggle. Nate'll still come but man, I can't remember the last time Austin did that or Connor. And I know you're all thinking, well, he's 17, that'd be kind of weird. But the point is, do you remember the feeling when they started doing that and they began to choose others besides you? Remember how that made you feel? That's how we make God feel when we put him out of order. When we begin to choose other things instead of him first, the relationship with him first. See, don't confuse kingdom things with your relationship with God. Just because you come to church, that's not a God thing. You come to church because you love God. You don't come to church to love God. I hope that makes sense. See, this is just the cause and effect. You come here because this is what God would want, and it adds to the relationship, but you don't come here just because that is in place of the relationship. There should be more. Stephen Curtis Chapman sings a song called More to This Life. There should be more to this life than living and dying, more than these eyes alone can see. Now here's the issue. I'm gonna get real with you for just a second. You ever hear the old saying, out of sight, out of mind? The reason it is so easy to shuffle God out of place is because he's an invisible God. No one has seen God. I mean, we see the effects of God. We hear his voice, just like the wind. We see the wind, or we don't see the wind. We see the effects of the wind. We can hear the wind. We can see the wind's power. Same way with God. We see God's power. We hear his voice. We see the effects God has, but we don't see God. That's where faith comes in. That's why this is a thing of faith. You understand? For by grace are you saved through faith. You do have to have faith. But because all these other things are in front of our eyes all the time, that's how we so easily forget the invisible God that we can't see, and we put him in. How many times have you went through your day trying to have a relationship with God and realized everything else came first by him? How many times? I mean, we've all done that. I've done that. And I'm the preacher. If I've done that, I know you all done it. I mean, I am so blessed. My job description includes prayer. I mean, I know some of y'all don't get that, you know, in your job descriptions. Mine says it's part of your job. So I'm very blessed. I know that. You know, I understand. But I even will find myself sometimes moving everything else in front of God. And if I can do that, how much easier is it for you who have way different job descriptions than I do?
I pray this week's message has touched your heart. If you have need of prayer or would like more information, you can call Church 180 at 937-386-0333. Visit our website at www.church180.org. Or check out our Facebook page. Our church is non-denominational with a welcoming environment. Blue jeans are welcome, and so are you. Church 180 is located at 2556 Moores Road in Seaman, Ohio, right across from North Adams High School. We would love to have you come be part of our family. The services are Sundays at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. This is Pastor Mike Parks praying you have a blessed week, and we'll see you next Sunday right here on C103.